Please go ahead. This afternoon's conference call is being recorded.
Thank you very much, Tim. Okay. Hello, everybody, and welcome to this DSSA call today on the 9th of June. On the call we have Mike O'Connor, Cheryl Langdon Orr, Olivier Capin-Leblanc, George Asare-Saki, Rafik Tamak, Rosella Matoili, Bakayasu Matsura, Jim Galvin, Roy Ahrens, Jörg Schweiger, Sean Copeland, and David Conrad and Chris Wright. And from staff, we have Bart Waswinkel, Julie Hedlund, Patrick Jones, and Christina Nordstrom. Apologies from Katrina Sataki and Wim DeGaselle.
And I have apologies from Don Blumenthal as well to add to that. This is Christina.
Thank you.
Good morning, all. This is Scott Stewart joining as well.
Good deal.
As well as Mark Hosters.
So 3 minutes after the hour catches a few people as the door closes. Okay, I get that. The other thing we'll do by way of sort of get started is give people an opportunity to let us know about changes to their statement of interest. This is a carryover from the GNSO world, but it seems like a good idea. The objective here is to give people an opportunity to let us know if their employment has changed or their positions have changed. So I'll just take a moment for that at the beginning of every call. Dang, I was hoping for gossip opportunity. No. Oh, well, maybe later. Because Michaela is teasing me on Facebook about all the people who are going to change employers and so on at Singapore. I was hoping for early gossip, but no. The agenda is in the upper right corner. It's actually pretty sparse today. We're going to spend most of the call, I'd say about a half an hour. I don't know how much discussing the work plan is, introducing you to the work plan to get you thinking about it. And then we'll take the last part of the call to work through some stuff that we and the co-chairs group have figured out for what to do in Singapore. And presuming that that's all right, we'll dive right in. What's in front of you on the Adobe Connect screen is the same document that I distributed to the list a week or so ago. It's called DSSA Launch version 1.1. So if you don't have Adobe and you want to follow along, you have this PDF in your inbox. And it's the one that we used last week, and it has last week's agenda embedded in it. I realized with dismay when I saw it on the screen here. So you can ignore that. And if you scroll, you all have control of it. So scroll down to page 24, which is Appendix 1. And this is the work plan that we've developed in the co-chairs group for your review. The work plan is sort of one of our, well, it is our first deliverable as a working group. And this is a document that we all need to feel comfortable with. And so I'm not expecting this to be the final draft. I'm expecting this to be a fairly mature first draft of it. And on page 24, what we've framed here is a slight restatement of the charter. Because we felt that the charter was a little bit too much in the passive voice, and we wanted to have something a little bit more in the active voice. So I don't think that this materially changes the intent, but that's what this is all about, is to make sure that especially those of you who were in the chartering group take a look at this and make sure that this is something that you're comfortable with. On the next, I'm going to just scream through this, and then maybe at the end we. But if people have something that's urgent, you know, by all means, throw your hand up, or if you're not on Adobe, just call out, and we'll discuss it. The next page is an organization chart, and actually, this may be a little bit out of date. We've in the working in the co-chairs group have been working a bit on sort of very process-oriented stuff, primarily because this is a cross-organizational working group, and we've got different working methods that we all bring to these. And so we've started to sketch out sort of who does what, and we're also starting to sketch out, again, in the co-chairs group, sort of the differences between the way that we do these things, so that we don't get caught by really different expectations. And so as we work, you as individual members may observe things too. And if you see things that are going a little bit wrong because we're working the way one kind of organization works and that conflicts with the way others do, not only are we encouraging you to let us know, but in fact, this is really useful information that we're trying to capture for subsequent cross-organizational working groups. So, sort of a non-stated but I think very useful deliverable of this effort will be to provide some lessons learned for subsequent efforts of this type. And this is one of those kinds of things. On page 26, we get to something that I think is pretty important. We talked a fair amount about how we're going to do the consensus stuff. And one of the things that we really want to do is not have consensus get in the way of work where there is consensus, but at the same time not not do the tyranny of the majority problem for places where there isn't consensus. So what you see here is sort of a peculiar chart that I drew. And let me try to describe what's going on. On the left are the three sort of major chunks of the work plan. This is very sketchy because it's really kind of an example. And it's sort of saying, okay, our first thing to do is identify threats. And in that, what we're probably going to wind up with is a series of threats that are in one of three categories. They're either threats that we have consensus to reject for whatever reason. We'll have threats that we have consensus should be included in our work. That's the checkmark column in the middle. And we'll have threats that we're still either discussing or which we've concluded we just can't arrive at consensus about. And the thought that's trying to be conveyed on this page is that we will, if we find consensus around a series of threats, which I'm expecting we will, those will move on to the next stage of the work. While the threats that we are still discussing will not. So this is sort of like a sifter. And then it's the same thing will happen in subsequent stages of the work. You know, as we're analyzing threats, we may have analyses that are rejected. I hope we don't, but we might. We'll have analyses that we say, "Yep, that's our consensus view," and that'll move on to the next stage, and then we will have analyses that are still under discussion. And, the layers of this are not cast in stone, nor is this approach cast in stone, but the concepts that we're trying to get across is that we don't want to have all the work held up just because we still don't have consensus at an earlier stage. And, we'll sort of try this out, and then if it doesn't work, we'll fix it. So that's what this is. What this is talking about. On page 27 is the summary of the work plan as it stands today. And the phase that we're in right now clearly is launch. And the thought is that Singapore is sort of the end of the launch and the beginning of the rest. And the rest is mostly identify threats, analyze threats, prepare the report, and celebrate. I'm a big fan of celebrate. But we may have some readiness issues that we identify, and if we find some, we will address those early on as well. So this page is the summary, and then as you go on to page 28, this is a list of the launch tasks that mostly the co-chairs have been working on. And we're, for the most part, done. But you'll see that there are a few things that we're not done on, and we are going to try and wrap some of that up in Singapore. An example would be, in the middle of that page, there's a task, determine criteria and mechanisms for segregating sensitive information. And we're not done with that, but we're going to devote some time to that in Singapore and hopefully at least get close to some good ideas on that. But that's the rest of that page is sort of the kind of thing that the for the most part co-chairs have been working on with the staff. I'm reading the chat.
Yeah, Mikey, I'm getting very irritated. Sorry.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, you've got Arturo who has no audio. So either someone has to start scribing what you're saying so people who aren't on a telephone can vaguely follow, or we get the AC rooms to function like the AC rooms are meant to. It's not current set up to do that, so I didn't want it in back channel because I wanted Arturo to know that, you know, we can fix this for the future.
Ah, yes. That's new to me because this is perfect. This is the exact kind of example of the cross-constituency kind of issue, which is that in the GNSO, our habit is to do everything with phone and the work at the Adobe room doesn't carry the audio. So... I think we'll
if you were currently in the policy group's webinar, you've got the meeting being recorded. If a meeting's being recorded, then the presenter's voice is being recorded, and the presenter's voice recording can go through the meeting room. You also can or cannot have the audio in via the AC phone bridge, which is what we're looking, what we do when some places in Africa in particular.
Okay, thanks.
It's not a hassle, but it's an enabler. And if we're working globally, call me fussy. Well, no, don't call me Cheryl.
Oh, Cheryl, you're fussy. But you're right, too. And so we'll take that one as an action to restructure this.
Would you like to type that to Arturo so he knows?
Yeah, although if somebody could do it for me, the aging geek doesn't multitask well.
Well,
but
it's your broken X chromosome that's the problem there. But
Actually, I'm ready for men to just exit the stage in general.
But back to approach, as long as you've got all your chooks in the pen,
that's fine. Yeah, and somebody type into the chat a mea culpa and that we will fix that for subsequent calls.
Mikey, I can check with the tech department to make sure that's done.
I'm sure they can do it because I've been on conferences like the one that Cheryl is describing.
Yes, I think they can. I'm sure too. It's not set up for this room, but I can ask them to do it.
Yeah, that would be fantastic. And again, we still haven't hit the. Okay, I'm going to go into the chat. No, I'm not. Let's see. What am I going to say here? Yes. There. Thanks, Cheryl, for the heads up. All right, so on page, actually, you know, the timing's not too bad. On page 29, these are the sort of questions that we've been asking ourselves in the co-chair group about readiness. You know, do we feel like there's a shared view that this is a good thing? Is there good data available, et cetera, et cetera? And just to take a slight branch off of the conversation here, readiness questions are not a report card. They are simply asking questions as to whether we need to get ready about something. And this, you know, ironing out of the process is a great example of a readiness issue, in which it's not a good thing or a bad thing, it just needs to get fixed so that we can carry on at the level we want. And so that kind of issue is exactly the kind of thing that we're trying to get worked out as much as we can in launch, but at the same time, time's a wasting. You know, we've been going at a fairly slow pace up till now, and our goal in the co-chair group is to sort of ramp things up now and get going. And we'll talk a bit more about that as we go on. Then on page 30, this is the beginning of the work, and this is what we're going to kick off in Singapore in the face-to-face meeting. The first major chunk of work is to identify the threats that we want to work on as a working group. And as you see from those tasks, we want to cast the net fairly wide in terms of who we ask. So one of the things that we're going to talk about in the second half of the call is how we reach out to experts outside of the working group and get their views about the things that we're working on. And so this is the first piece of work that we're going to start in Singapore. And I'm very hesitant to estimate a time on this. I'm thinking that it's relatively shorter than the analyze threats phase, but until we get into it, it's awfully hard to know. The next page, page 31, is the, I think, really most energetic part of the work that we're going to be doing, where we'll undoubtedly form working teams around these threats and go to work as subgroups on the threats. And I think this is the meat of the effort, although just the list of the threats is probably not to be sneezed at. And but this page, I think, is the one that will take the longest and will be the hardest work. And one of the questions that we're going to have to answer is, how do we use this 1 hour a week kind of time, given that we're going to have at least several and perhaps quite a number of very busy working groups, sub-working groups? You know, how are we going to coordinate with each other? How are we going to cross-pollinate our ideas? All of those things I think we are going to sort of have to invent as we go. And this is where that's going to get the busiest for sure. And then the last part of the working plan and the last page of this document, page 32, is really the reporting cycle. And one of the things that we are still working out is it's clear that we don't want to wait till the very end to get public comment on this. We want, I think, to provide a mechanism where we go out probably at each ICANN meeting on that cycle. We go back out to the community and sort of give people an update on what we have discovered so far and get their feedback and additions to what we've done. So that's the work plan draft as it stands. I think I'll pause here and let folks comment as to whether we're on the right track. This is sort of the last process-oriented call. I apologize for that, but the process stuff has been the focus of the co-chairs, and so we need to sort of share with you what we've come up with and then begin the transition to real work. But if folks have ideas, this is a great time to voice them. Cheryl, go ahead.
Thank you very much, Marky. Cheryl Langdonor, for the record. It's not an idea. It's just, I suppose, a slight caution for planning the agenda when we move into our next step, the second half of this meeting, just the Singapore planning. As lovely as it would be to think we have finished with the process and the going over it, it is likely that it's at the face-to-face meeting when more of us are all together in either, you know, a hybrid teleconference and face-to-face, that we might need to at least do a review, because I'm very aware of a very different set of people being on each of the calls, and we do need to have, a fully established buy-in to the work plan. So I suspect it won't be the last time you go through process. It's a good foundation for the process agreement to be wrought out our next meeting.
Yeah, and I am always happy to do process stuff. The reason I'm so cautious is because I get beat up sometimes for doing it too much. So by no means do I want to imply that this is frozen in stone or that Mikey, we shouldn't review it again.
Mikey, this is a very large group. Look at who you have on the calls and who you've had on any of the calls.
Yeah.
You've almost got to run two, if not three, calls to capture everybody's input. So it's a behemoth, but there you go. It is what it is.
There you go. Yeah, no, that's right. That's right. Yeah, and I think that's a good course correction, Cheryl, because we do want to bring everybody. Well, I think the main message is that if people become uncomfortable with anything, we certainly want to take the time to fix that. And we have the time. Unlike some of the work groups that we've all been on, we don't really have a lot of formal deadline pressure. And I think that gives us a bit more flexibility to make sure that we've got things right and that people are all on the same at the same place and have the same point of view, which I'm viewing as a huge luxury. Anybody else on this one? Okay. This work plan isn't terribly specific, and it's also subject to change. Feel free to think about it and either hit the list or, we will touch on this again, I'm sure. But, Christina, could you throw up the massive second document that I prepared?
Sure. Just a moment.
None of you have this one. So, let's see. Cheryl, I take it that Arturo is... Well, he must be on Adobe, so he'll be able to
He's in Adobe,
it.
Which is why I am showing how poor a typist I am to
You're
at
doing
least
a great
make
job.
Some attempt to capture what the hell is going on.
Yeah, bummer. That's really too bad. We'll definitely get that fixed. Okay. All right, so let's see. Can we all scroll? I can scroll this. All right, so if you take a look at that second slide, the one with the pink DSSA sticker stuck on my pen next to my computer, one of the things that we talked about in the co-chair group was the opportunity for working group members to get to know each other informally while we're all in Singapore together, or at least those of us who are there. And what we attempted to do was try to figure out a time when we could get together outside of the scheduled meeting. And because the schedule of the Singapore meeting is so fluid and so complicated, we decided that it was virtually impossible to do that. So I am bringing stickers that look just like that. For those of you who want to self-identify as members of the DSSA group, I am demonstrating that sticker on my pen. But my thought would be that we would stick this on our lanyard or any place else that we felt like, so that as we're walking around in Singapore, we can spot people and just walk up and introduce each other and get to know each other a little bit. And for those of you who find these embarrassing, that's fine. But if you want a sticker, I will be carrying a large number of them and would be more than willing to share with everybody else. So that's the informal social get-to-know-each-other aspect. And then the last page sort of sets
Mikey.
Out some of... Yes, go ahead.
Olivier here. Sorry, I'm not in the Adobe room, so I can't put my hands up. I was just going to ask, how can we find you? Because it's great.
I will be wearing these stickers all over my body.
Right?
So if you see a guy with... Yeah. If you see a guy with a sort of ludicrous number of these stickers on, that's me. Come on up, and I will share. And I will probably share them rather than just one at a time. When the co-chairs find me, I'm going to give them a handful. And if I find other co-conspirators who would be willing to carry a few extra stickers, I will give those out too. So that we can spread them pretty quickly. Because I have a lot of these. These are unlike the buttons, which are fairly expensive, these stickers don't cost much money at all. So I'm going to be there with an ample supply. And I will be wearing a ludicrous number of them, at least for the first few days of the meeting. Then I may switch over to some other ludicrous form of decoration. We'll see. Okay, so the goals for Singapore, really all week, one of the things that we're going to do right after this call is throw out a doodle poll that we can just indicate when we're going to be in Singapore. So that if somebody wants to track another member of the working group down, they'll be able to go to this poll and figure out whether they're even still in Singapore. We thought that would be a useful way to sort of identify who's there. Another goal of the week is back to this notion that there are a lot of experts who've indicated an interest in this project and would like to help but aren't members of the working group. And I've started calling them DSSA irregulars, sort of after Sherlock Holmes Baker Street irregulars in books about Sherlock Holmes, because I think that that broader group of interested security community people, if we can recruit them and organize them, could be a huge resource for us as we do our work. So that, you know, the thought is spend the time in Singapore talking to those folks, encouraging them to participate, understanding how they would like to participate, and then letting, I think the way to do this is if you as an individual identify somebody like that and they indicate that they'd like to do that, just let one of the co-chairs or staff folks know so that we can build a little list of these folks. And then a third objective for Singapore, which we haven't really worked out yet, is figuring out how we can connect and coordinate with the Affirmation of Commitments review team that's focusing on SSR. We've begun a correspondence with the leadership of that group, but we haven't quite gotten to the point of knowing what we're doing yet. I know a lot of us will be attending their all-day session, which unfortunately is the same day as our meeting. And we did try to reschedule our meeting so that that conflict didn't happen, but it didn't work out. The scheduling in Singapore is really tricky, and so we're just going to have to cope with that. And some people in our working group are probably going to have to make some difficult choices as to whether to go to our meeting or the SSR meetings. And the SSR folks have strongly encouraged us to participate in their meetings, you know, when we're not meeting. And I, for one, will certainly be going to those. So anyway, there's that thread that's going on, but we're not quite there yet on this one. We'll post some more to the list. And then I just want to give you a quick sketch of sort of the plan for the face-to-face meeting. This meeting is turning the tables, where you all will do all the work, and I, for one, will be doing very little of it, unlike these calls where I've been talking at you, and I apologize for that. But the thought is to do three or four breakout sessions. We'll see if we can get four crammed into an hour and a half. That's pretty aggressive, but we'll try it. And the idea is we'll have flip charts in the room where we'll break the group into three or four subgroups and brainstorm around three or four of those topics that are at the bottom of the page. And very quickly draw out the ideas of people, get them written down, share them quickly amongst the rest of us, and then move on. So this meeting will move very quickly because, you know, 15 or 20 minutes isn't a very long time to work on something like this. But the thought is to try and flush out a lot of ideas and really to get you all out of sort of passive listener mode and into the work at hand. And what we'll do is for the folks on the phone, they will become their own subgroup. Mark is not going to be able to be in Singapore, and he's going to chair that subgroup. So the people who are participating by phone will have something more interesting to do than just listen to a room full of people, you know, sort of roaring on the phone. They will collapse into their own subgroup, do a similar exercise over the phone in the Adobe room, and then share their results with the rest of us, just like the other subgroups in the room. The four topics that we've come up with are in no particular order. The four that we've really already mentioned in one context or another. One is this whole, you know, we had a little bit of a discussion on the last call about the need for a mechanism to gather and protect confidential information. We want to spend some time working on that in this face-to-face meeting. Another thing that I can't remember if we've talked about it so much on the calls, but certainly we've talked about it in the co-chairs group, is this notion that we probably would be well served to develop some criteria around the question, what is the current level of SSR at any given time? And so we'd like to do some brainstorming around, you know, what would those metrics look like? What are the advantages? The trick to metrics is that you can have strange unintended consequences from badly framed metrics. And so it's not just writing down a list of metrics, but it's also trying to begin the, certainly not end, but begin the conversation about what are good ones and what are not so good ones to use. We'll for sure take one of these subgroups and just brainstorm out a list of threats so that we've got a starting point for the threats work, which is going to start right after Singapore. This is really the beginning of that work. And then another thing that we want to talk a bit about is sort of how the rest of the work unfolds. You know, do we have weekly phone calls? Do we have, you know, how long should those phone calls be? What kinds of things should happen in the phone calls as opposed to on the list? Should we have phone calls for subgroups in addition to phone calls for the whole group? You know, that whole conversation is one that we'd like to let you all start contributing to, even though it is a little bit more on the process end of things. So that's the thought that we've had for the session that's an hour and a half on Thursday, starting at, I think, 10 o'clock in the morning, Singapore time. And that's sort of the approach that we've got for Singapore. So again, I'm done with this. I'll pause and see if there are questions or thoughts. Or not. See, I bored everybody so much that
You answered my question, Mikey. Cheryl here. I mean, I was going to jump in and say, what are we doing for the remote participants during the breakout sessions? And you answered me. So, I mean, you know,
you're
preemptive.
Preemptive Mikey tasking. How about that? Well, there you go. If you know, I'm not a fan of using people's time unnecessarily. So if people are comfortable with what they've seen today, that's really all we had for today's call. And if people, I'm really looking forward to the end of the sort of one-way conversations on these calls and switching over into real work mode. And that's really the transition in Singapore. So I'm really looking forward to that. So I'm asking one last time, and then if there's nobody that wants to throw anything in, we'll wrap this call up and look to see you in Singapore with my pink stickers all over my body. All
right.
I think
we need a photo of that, though, as well as of one on the end of your pen.
Yeah, I think that's probably going to happen. Wait, I'm planning to have a good time. Okay, folks, thanks very much for joining us today, and we'll see you in Singapore. That's it for me.
Travel safe. Bye.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.